It's time for Sweet Home Cannabama, a show that'll answer all your questions, provide accurate information, and dispel the myths of CBD. You can participate and have your specific questions answered by emailing sweethomecannabama.com. And now for all things cannabis in Alabama, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm Jennifer Boozer. I'm your host. I am the owner of Cannabama, the CBD store in Mobile, Alabama. We are located at 558 St. Francis Street in downtown Mobile, on the corner of St. Francis Street and Warren Street, just a block down from Wenzel's. And we're also located right past Pete's Party Castle on Schillinger Road between Grelot and Cottage Hill at 2090 Schillinger Road South, Suite K. And we are open 7 days a week in downtown and Monday through Saturday, 10 to 7 in West Mobile. I want to get to a really great guest tonight who is a wealth of knowledge. But first, I want to remind everybody that we are always wanting to promote our fundraiser of the month. This month, we've been raising money for the organization called One Meal, run by founder Mike McKinley. He is a resident of Satsuma and has been basically using donated food and money to cook food and provides free food for the homeless, the hungry, and the working poor. He does not ask anybody for anything except for donation from the ones of us who can afford to pay for food. If you'd like to make a donation, you can go to onemealmobile.com or find the One Meal page or Mike McKinley's personal page on Facebook. I know that that as of earlier today, they were worried about running out of food for their food pantry. They also deliver groceries to people who cannot afford to buy food and who do not have transportation. And of course, there's always volunteer opportunities with that organization. So I know they're trying to collect some canned goods, dry goods. We posted a list on our Facebook page at Cannabama the CBD Store. And there are some items on there if you want to just drop those off at either of the stores anytime you come in to shop, because hopefully you're coming in soon. And or if you don't know how to get them to Mike, we can get them to Mike. And of course, we're offering double bonus points for anyone who wants to give their spare change or make an extra $5 donation on their purchase at the store, which will get you money back and discounts much quicker. So we really appreciate your support on that. We're always looking for local charities to support, partner with, promote, and fundraise for. So if you or someone you know has a local charity, not a big one, we know we don't want to get all the money in these big, big organizations that sometimes don't put the money where we think they do. We want to support local always, local business, local music, and local charity. So if you have a local charity that you need some help with fundraising or promoting, we would love to partner with you for a month-long promotion. And you can reach me by email at jennifer@cannabama.com. Just a couple of announcements. We are finally done, well, almost done. There's still a couple of things like the stubborn inventory count that we're working on, but our new website, cannabama.com, is live, and I really hope you guys get to check it out. Not only do we have an extensive product selection, right now most of it says it's out of stock. It's not, I assure you, but we're working on that. So some of it you wouldn't be able to order tonight, but hopefully tomorrow we'll have that all worked out. But you can see what we do offer in the store. There's also some history. There are staff bios. If you have a favorite staff member that you love, you can see information about them, why they work at Cannabama and love it. And you can see some endorsement videos from our brand and our customers, and some other really great testimonials. Just a lot of great stuff. All of our past radio shows, of course, are on there. If you would like to go back or share something that you learned on the radio with someone, those are available and shareable. You can also find them on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, and on the FM Talk 106.5 website. And so the Vento app that we have been talking about is supposed to be live sometime tonight, which is relevant to our website working. So you should be able to, hopefully by tomorrow, you should be able to download that app on Apple. And I was just told today they are going to be able to add it to the Android option as well with this launch and not have to wait till March. So you should be able to go and download the Vento app and find Cannabama there very soon and start ordering for local delivery. Again, it's a lot like DoorDash. You get on there, you pick what you want, you pay, and it shows up wherever you tell it to show up by delivery driver in an hour. So we're really excited about that. We'll be the only store in the area to have that service, and they are working exclusively with us, so we're super excited about that. If you have any questions at all, feel free to call the store. It's 251-255-5155 or email us at info@cannabama.com and somebody will be happy to help you. Tonight, we are going to be speaking with Dr. Stephen Todd. Dr. Todd is a retired oral implantologist and dental anesthesiologist. Say that five times fast. I'm not even sure I know what those things mean. I do, however, have dental implants, so I think I know what that means. It did require anesthesia as well. He has a master's in regenerative medicine and is focused on the science and business of the endocannabinoid system. He is the author of the Hemp Healthcare Initiative. It's a program designed to systemize the integration of hemp products into healthcare practices. So the program allows healthcare professionals to participate and prosper in the exploding hemp industry. Dr. Stephen Todd, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you, Jennifer. I appreciate that. It's very kind of you. Thank you. And I'm excited about this. This is really cool. You have a great platform and a great business.
Well, thank you. I was lucky enough to have you and your wife over, and we had a really good, long conversation in the Westmobile store not long ago.
You have a beautiful store. I mean, it's just gorgeous and first class.
Well, thank you. We worked really hard on that, and I'm very, very proud of it. We want to make sure that the people that come in feel comfortable, and it's more like coming into our home instead of a business. And of course, you know, we still get people that are afraid to come in because they're not sure what to expect.
Right. Well, you know, this is a new science, new industry, and you're at the cutting edge of that, all of it.
So right.
It's a change, and eventually they'll come into your place just like they will a grocery store.
That's
like
right.
That.
That's right. Well, once they're in the door, they're fine. It's ones that hesitate and sit in the parking lot. But, you know, I sometimes have to go out there and show them I'm just a regular middle-aged lady with nary a tattoo, and there's no That's one right. that looks like Shaggy from Scooby-Doo. No Bob Marley posters.
That's funny.
Yeah. Well, you know, it matters. People, you know, we don't. I tell people all the time, you don't have to pander to stoners. The stoners will come. It's the moms and the businessmen and the grandmothers that need to feel comfortable that aren't going to be embarrassed for their neighbors to see them, you know, go into an establishment. And it matters that they feel comfortable and to walk in and have a comfortable place that looks just like any other place. That helps a lot with their ability to sort of get to business.
It does, and what you're doing is so fundamental to use hemp as an everyday product within our lives. It's so important.
Right,
so,
right. And that they're more willing to sort of open up to the concept that this isn't just about cannabis. You know, this is about the fundamental part in all of our bodies, this system of receptors, and how it's been part of our lives until it was taken from us. So, you know, it's serious business to me, and it gets on my nerves when people trivialize it.
Well, I mean, you know, it wasn't trivialized back in 1937 when it was banned from the United States. I mean, that was a very, very pivotal point in our history. And it changed American culture for almost 80 something years. So
right,
it's
well, and it created
what you're doing.
Yeah, it created a culture of of ignorance, and it created a culture of fear, and it created just an inability for people to understand why their health was declining as technology advanced. And that's something that we want to talk about extensively tonight. I think what you and I have gone over as all the topics we want to cover is going to take a few shows, but we're going to go to a break in just a second. But when we come back, I want to go over a little bit of the history of hemp, prohibition, and how prohibition is ending before our eyes, and how people like you and I are getting to participate. So we'll be right back. Stay with us, and we'll be talking with Dr. Todd in just a moment.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about CBD, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We are talking with Dr. Stephen Todd, and he is an implantologist and anesthesiologist in the dental field, retired, and has written the... sorry, I just lost my place. So professional. I didn't want to get it wrong. I was right, but I didn't want to get it wrong. The Hemp Healthcare Initiative to systemize and the integration of hemp into healthcare practices. So you basically are educating and helping other people in the medical field to implement use of hemp products in their practices?
Yes, that's right.
You know, okay.
That's a big part, I think, of day-to-day acceptance of cannabis products and particularly CBD technology, CBD products that you offer.
Absolutely. A lot of people want to know.
In order for them to be comfortable with it, I think their healthcare practitioners need to be comfortable with it.
Right. And all of that boils down to education.
Yes, it does. So it's really, really important. And I focus on that exclusively, actually.
Okay. Well, I know that a lot. And one of my first experiences trying to discuss CBD products with people, even long before I owned a store, was, well, why wouldn't my doctor tell me about this if this is so great for me? And mm-hmm. why wouldn't why isn't it out there? Why isn't it available?
Right.
If it's so great.
And that's a big part of it. You know, back in the, I think it was 1937 that in the United States, big corporations, a lot of them, paper corporations, pharma corporations, a lot of companies banded together and wanted to ban marijuana or the cannabis indica plant from the United States.
Right.
And in doing so, they joined it with cannabis sativa, as you know, which is the hemp plant, and they banned it. And that ban was, the two were connected.
Right.
For till just last year, which is, December 18th of 2019. And then the law passed that split the two forever. So that's a big deal.
Right.
But back to the hemp, you know, I mean, it's not new. It's been around for 12,000 years.
Right. We have written records of this. We have farming records from China and all sorts of digs and things in archaeology where they're finding, you know, residue of cannabis in cooking pots and bowls and things like that. And, you know, it's been part of the human diet forever.
Right. It's also been used culturally, too, as, you know, to make baskets and things of that nature.
Yes.
Because the fiber is so strong. And
yes.
So it's been around, again, 12,000 years. It's one of the oldest known cultivated plants in existence.
Right.
So, and then, you know, and since the beginning of it, it's been used in 5-10,000 years ago, it's been used by the Chinese and other people for sleeping aids and insomnia and sleeping disorders and
right.
pain disorders. I mean, it's not new. You know, I mean, it's been around a long,
right.
long time.
It's just new to us. I tell people that all the time. It's not new. It's new to us
right.
because we've been told something all our lives. My first response to it was, no, that's weed. I can't use that because I was in recovery. And
exactly,
you know, it's
right.
it's a drug, and I was so wrong. I feel silly now.
Well, you know, that's understandable for people today to even still get that confused because it's brand new. The industry's new, right?
It's the right.
birthing of an industry right before our eyes. I mean, it really is.
Right.
And some people don't. I think it's like when the Beatles music, that type of music, it was right before our eyes, didn't even know what was happening, and that's what's happening here.
Right, like music is not new, but this is new.
This is brand new, yes.
I imagine that, you know, I always think about alcohol prohibition, and, you know, a lot of people talk about how in the industry compare being one of the pioneers, one of the trailblazers, you know, one of us that are first on the scene, to being mm-hmm. Budweiser, because during prohibition of alcohol, you know, through all that, Budweiser somehow knew that it was not going to last very forever, and they were prepared. And when prohibition did finally end, and I don't know how long prohibition was for alcohol, but it was not nearly as long as us in the
right.
cannabis industry. But when the alcohol prohibition was over, they were ready to go. And then they're still the number one alcohol company in the world. So, you know, they could see sort of the forest for the trees when other people thought, oh, this is just the way it's going to be. And they were innovators. And so I'm always proud to work with people who were doing it before it was cool.
Right.
I think I was doing it before it was cool in Alabama.
Well, you are. I mean, you're at the cutting edge of all this.
And right. I was out there like, hey, I may go to jail today, but I'm still going to go to work.
Well, Jennifer, you know, you're providing a much needed product for health and wellness. I mean, there's no question on that people actually seek this out, and the reason they don't even know why.
Right.
And there's some genetics behind that we can talk about later on, but.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of issues, basically physiological reasons why people seek this out.
Right.
But, however, you know, it's used for clothes and soap and rope. I mean, it's been used. When I was a little boy in Kentucky, we lived on the Ohio River, and it was not, you know, hemp was grown there to make rope
mm-hmm.
during World War II.
Right.
And so what was really neat about that is that the government passed the ability to grow hemp through World War II because it was a necessity to make rope for ships.
Right.
And then right after the war, they just took it away again.
Right.
And so in Kentucky, along the old banks of the Ohio where we live, it still grows wild there.
Oh, yeah.
And it's really cool to see it grow. I had my father-in-law one time took me on a tour of his farm, and it's just on the bottoms of the Ohio River, and he pointed out the hemp plant to me, and he had no idea. He you know, he even thought, well, that's marijuana. You know, he didn't know. You know,
right?
Know.
Of course.
But it was industrial hemp, and it was everywhere on the. It still is, I'm sure, on the, unless they've just used pesticides or something to kill it off.
Right. But, well, and that's the way it should be, because wild animals, all mammals, have a need for cannabinoids, and
yeah.
From what I hear on from farms, the deer love it.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, I think that any animal with a vertebrae
right
has a need for it. And
right.
So you know that's and so yes, I think naturally that would be very common for deer, particularly deer and any kind of wild animal to use. To eat hemp if it's available,
right?
And that could be that probably is a real big reason why deer are so heavy along the Ohio River Valley. You know, I mean, and through the year, well,
right? I bet
because
they're
grows,
healthy too.
Right.
It's a shame that anything that grows in nature that's of value is either you know demonized or highly controlled. Because you can't technically own a plant that was here before you were.
So, right, yeah,
you know,
exactly.
That, it's a shame because it should grow wild.
12,000 years puts it pretty much here for anybody, doesn't it? I mean,
well, 12,000 right.
Puts it here a long time ago. And you know, the major pharma companies, Eli Lilly and Pfizer, all the big companies, they had medical cannabis, you know, at the turn of the 19th, 20th century. You know, they had it.
And right. American Pharmacopeia was, like, hugely based on cannabis.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, you know, it was regularly used in many different ways by Big Pharma till the ban came about. And then, of course, what was substituted for that ban? Opioids.
Right.
So
synthesized
versions
of plants.
Right, they had to go to something.
Right.
And so what they did was they created opioids for that. And that's one of the reasons we are where we are with that, because of that flip.
Absolutely.
And now that you're able now to provide what you do in your store for hundreds of people, thousands of people to just go there and help themselves and make themselves better, you know, without depending on things like
that. And you know what's crazy? I have done some, you know, having had an opiate addiction myself, I've done a lot of reading about it, and a long time ago, you could get heroin in a needle that's reusable and a tube and a spoon and the whole nine in a kit from Sears and Roebuck catalog, and
they would
deliver. I'm telling you, the number one age group of people or demographic of people who used it were women of childbearing age, and they had used it to like rub on their children's gums when they were teething, and they had scores of children that were like zombies because they were high, and it was very easy to accidentally overdose your child, your baby or your toddler. It was terrible. And they had all these women that were using things like laudanum, and it's fascinating to me because you could literally get it from a catalog, like you could get brake pads. It's weird and crazy to think that.
Yeah, but that's, you know, now today, since Prohibition in 37, when hemp was linked, now they're separated. I mean,
right.
You know, cannabis marijuana are separated, and that'll be forever now. So that's
right. The information age needed to happen for prohibition to start to fall apart for sure.
Right.
We're gonna have to take another break, but when we come back, let's talk more about the comparison between hemp and marijuana and what makes them different, because there is a big difference. We'll be
all
back
right.
in just a minute.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about CBD, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. I'm Jennifer Boozer, your host, owner of Cannabama, the CBD store in Mobile, Alabama. We're talking tonight with Dr. Stephen Todd. And before the break, we were talking about a little bit about the history of hemp. And so we want to talk about now the difference between the hemp plant and the marijuana plant. So, Doc, tell us a little bit about the differences that you explain in your educational initiative for healthcare practitioners. What is the difference between hemp and marijuana?
Okay. Well, first of all, legally, there's a big difference, right? We know that. But it's the first time in history that a plant has been illegal and legal at the same time.
Right.
Think about that. It's amazing. But there's complete FDA freedom from this, from hemp, from industrial hemp. There's, you know, complete movement throughout the states. Those are really fundamental things.
Right.
But genetically, cannabis, you know, the genus is cannabis, and it's split to one species, which is industrial hemp species, and marijuana. It's not quite that simple, but that's the basics of the genes. There are so many different genetic strains now of hemp, it's
Absolutely.
Sort of a hodgepodge of what's actually there. And that's what's important about what you're doing, to let you, you know, I think, because you vet that. You make sure that what they have is vetted, it's proper, the strains are good, and there's a lot of confusion in that. So I'm really,
there is. And when you're looking on paper at something, people are taking advantage of the general ignorance, even of people like us who are the first ones to do things in this new industry. We have not been doing this for 10 or 15 years, most of us. Sure, there's people that work in the legal cannabis and marijuana space, but even then, it still has its differences. Most people that are active in the industry today have been in for, you know, under a few years. I know for me, it's been like 2.5. But I'm ancient compared to some of my colleagues who are still just now opening their businesses and getting started. So, you know, at 18 months of age, my store is way older than most of the ones around me. I don't know that anybody else is even quite a year old around here. I'm sure there are in other parts of the state, but I don't think anybody else has been around for a year yet. So, but even, you know, I admittedly say a lot. I am not an expert. I just have lots of experience day to day. But, you know, there's a lot of bad product and a lot of fake labs going around. There are lots of people who want to make a name for themselves, and they try to take shortcuts. And you have to know how to spot those things before you offer it to the public. And so even when it makes sense on paper, we get a small quantity, we vet it, you know, in that way, we try it, test it out ourselves, and get a full understanding of what it is we'll be carrying before we put it on the shelves. And I've said before, I get a little flack sometimes about how many types of products that I offer in my store compared to most stores. And the questions of how could I know everything that I need to know about each one? And I assure you, I can, and I do know everything. I have this weird party trick where I forget nothing. It's almost a curse sometimes, but once I know and understand something, I can kind of keep it on recall. I do all of my speaking and teaching from just the top of my head. I do the show that way because I've got all the information that I need and can sort of adapt to people's learning styles, their questions, their specific needs. So, you know, it's a weird thing that I can do. Don't ask me to organize or pay the bills on time. I have no idea. If it doesn't go on automatic payment, I'm going to be
That's
late.
Funny.
And I usually have wet hair, but at least I shower. But I just get so focused. But
back to the confusion then. You know, we want to make sure that the audience understands that this has been separated. That
right.
They have the same name, cannabis, but there's the industrial hemp species, and then there's the marijuana species. And those are separate entities
right.
today. And that's
right.
the way they're going to stay.
Right.
And that's
it's
very,
sort of,
very
you could sort of say the word citrus, and that covers lemons, limes, grapefruits, oranges. But if limes were illegal and lemons were legal, they look and smell and almost exactly the same, but they're not the same.
That's a really good comparison.
Well, and from what I have gathered and from what I understand, it really comes down to, yes, they look the same. They may have some physical differences, but on, you know, on first glance, without really being a super good expert, they look the same. They have the same basic taste and usage, but the chemical profile, the makeup of the ratio or proportion of certain chemicals is what makes them different. What makes their color different, what makes their usage and their taste different is the proportion of largely the same chemicals.
Right. And the hemp plant is actually a much taller plant
right.
than marijuana plant. It's about, you know, it's
Right. If you saw them next to each other, you would definitely know the difference.
25 feet high, right.
Yeah. But if you were looking at the leaves or the flowers by themselves, it's harder to distinguish them.
Yes. Yes, it is. And also the hemp plants, you know, is pretty, it's a weed. I mean, it's pretty tough. You know, it
right.
grows in climates where it's not where it just can grow. I mean, it's really, really tough product. And that's why
right.
I think you'll see in agriculture here in the United States, it's just going to be a boom for farmers in the future. Once they get a handle on it, and, you know, this the hemp industry in itself is just going to be massive. It is massive because it can be used for so many things.
And right.
Just health and wellness, nutraceutical feel, but everything.
Yes.
So the marijuana plant, you know, it's again, the differences are chemical, where it contains 5% or 35% THC, and the hemp plant only contains 0.3% by law, and that's by law of THC. That's the psychoactive product, as you know, and I know that's
right.
in the plant. And you really, it's sort of like the orange in an orange. You can't take the orange out of the orange. It's still, that's just what
right.
that's what 0.3% is. And
right.
And however, when it's grown for CBD and when it's grown for all the cannabinoids that are in this plant, that they're just tremendous health and wellness properties in it that are just, I just read this week where there's two new cannabinoids that have been discovered in it. And so.
Yes, I saw that too. That's very exciting.
Yeah, that's, you know, and so, you know, I think we've got, what, 130 or 140 cannabinoids now that are going to be.
I thought it was 140 named cannabinoids, but they're always discovering more.
Yeah, I mean, it might be that many. So it's amazing, and as the science in America takes off, which it's going to do because it's deregulated now.
Right.
Cannabinoid research is going to be through the roof, you know, because it just has so many properties for us. And the other thing that I think in the differences in these plants is that, you know, this is still a baby industry. This is still a baby idea, baby concept. And so
right.
As time goes on, people, as you know, and because you're an integral part of that educational process, is that people will understand that. And but even today, I mean, I was talking to somebody at church on Sunday, and I was talking about, you know, this initiative, and you know, first thing out was, you know, well, this is that marijuana, you know? And I said, no, it's not.
Right.
So you have to step back. And,
right.
But it is truly a remarkable product. Truly a remarkable science that's evolving here. And again, and the reason I got involved with it was that in regenerative medicine, which is my specialty, and I work with placenta-based products, actually, which is a new technology. I mean, you take placentas from a C-section, and you extrapolate the healing factors. You pull the healing factors out of these things, and it's remarkable.
Wow.
In wounds. Yeah, I mean, it's a remarkable technology. But even that technology is enhanced by people taking CBD.
Right. I mean, well, yeah, you have this entire system of receptors that's, you know, larger than the peripheral and central nervous system, and we're just not using it. That there's got to be major implications there.
Yes, very much so. When you have a patient that is very sick with chronic inflammation or chronic pain or whatever, and they're not healing well, and I'm talking about a wound in a type of healing, like let's say a diabetic wound or
right.
some kind of wound.
Burns and things like that.
They need to ramp up their regenerative capacity, and that's ramping up their native stem cells that they have, and CBD does that.
Right.
I actually had
someone tell me recently, and I can't for the life of me remember who it was, but talked about how at a certain age, and apparently I have reached that age, your body stops sort of regenerating. Yeah, no kidding. Your body stops regenerating certain things and stops doing things it did when you were in your 20s. And so you kind of have to thump it and wake it up and go, hey, we're not done yet. Keep going.
Right. Well, you know, actually, the natural aging process of people, and particularly, but let me just tell you what's interesting about that, is that in our society and our culture, you know, this happens faster than it does in other cultures.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you know, there are people in other cultures that live to be 100 years old, and they do just fine on very little food and whatever. But in our culture, the issues with hammering and inhibiting the natural regenerative ability of the body is very, very real.
Right.
And this is the first time in history that we have ever had anything that can even activate those receptors. I mean, there's nothing been there. That's how important this is.
Yeah.
So now you've got CBD and well, you know, people, you know, the cannabinoid system, Jennifer, has been known about and figured out in mollusks 600 million years ago.
I mean, wow.
It's not new, 600 million years ago. So with that being said, in the cannabinoid system itself, now the endocannabinoid system developed in vertebrates, you know, as through evolutionary processes that occurred millions of years later. But what my point being that people are driving and want to take CBD, and they don't even know why sometimes. They just know they need to take it. Well, you're genetically predispositioned to have endocannabinoids, and if you don't have them, you're going to want them. So like
right.
Oranges. You know, you're going to eat citrus. If you don't, you're going to get scurvy.
Right, so and that works with a lot of different things. I've seen shows about there was a woman who was always like had this insatiable craving for dirt, and I'm not kidding. She wanted to eat dirt all the time, but she had a mineral deficiency. And for some reason, her body instinctively made her want to eat dirt to make up for that mineral deficiency, and that was fascinating to me. So I completely understand what you're saying there.
It's a core value. It's a core fundamental driving of humans.
Right.
It's not. And in American society, it's even more driven because we are so deficient.
Right.
In endocannabinoids. We are just rock bottom.
So, right. Well, and that's why people, I think so many people will use cannabis, legal or not, even when they know they're risking something, because it does something for them that they don't even fully understand. When we come back, I want to talk about those receptors some more and the endocannabinoid system and how it works in the body. Stay with us and we'll be right back.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about CBD, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
All right, everybody, welcome back to our last segment. Dr. Todd, before I ask my next question, will you please agree to come back in a week or two and let's finish this conversation, which will probably take us a couple of episodes, because I think that you know, you being in the medical field leaves people with a little bit more, I don't know, believability, and they're more apt to listen to someone in the medical field who is educating healthcare practitioners, and I value your sort of authority on the subject, and I know we cannot cover, even begin to cover everything that we need to tonight, so I hope you'll do that with us and continue to give really good, accurate information to all of our listeners.
Oh, yeah, I'll be happy to, Jennifer. This is just a lot of fun. And
It is.
And it's fun, but it's also so very important.
It is. I agree. And we can go back and sort of touch on all of these things we've already mentioned. But something Charlie pointed out during the break was that we have not actually defined for the audience what a cannabinoid is. And why it matters, and what it does in the body. So let's start with that. Tell us, based on the information that you're giving healthcare practitioners, particularly, what is a cannabinoid, and how is CBD and THC and all the other cannabinoids relevant to why cannabis is so important?
Well, there's a lot in that question, but let's just talk about that. There are three parts of the endocannabinoid system, Jennifer. You know, there are three parts. There are the receptors, which are CB1 and CB2. There mm-hmm. are the endocannabinoids that your body makes, right? Your body makes two types.
Right.
And they have acronyms. One's called AEA, and the other one's called 2AG. And your body, supposedly you're supposed to make these, but what happens is that there's also several enzymes associated with these. And enzymes are chemicals that your body, that your neurons make, that speed along the process of how things happen in your body. And these two enzymes that are in the endocannabinoid system have long words, but one of them is called MAGL. These are things that break it down into FAAH. And so for long story short, these three parts make up the endocannabinoid system that's in your body. And cannabinoids that come from plants are called phytocannabinoids, like what you're talking about,
right.
And what CBD is. And it's just so, it's a remarkable thing that God makes a plant that mimics and has chemicals in it. And there are a lot of plants used in the healthcare field, but cannabinoids that are in the plant mimic the endocannabinoids very, very closely in what they do. So that's a remarkable thing and I don't think it's a coincidence. I just think that's the plan. You know, that was the plan.
Of course, that's the plan.
The endocannabinoids AEA and 2AG, they are what you're deficient in. That everybody is deficient in those cannabinoids. Almost 100% of the population.
Right.
And that's just like relate that to vitamin D deficiency.
Right.
If you want to look at something you know a little bit about, but even the government hasn't relabeled vitamin D appropriately. It's not. It's a parahormone. And even the numbers on the blood test that you get are wrong.
Right.
And so they haven't even adjusted that today. But my point is that if you want to relate to something that you understand a little bit, or people that do, think of vitamin D. Everybody needs the sun, and and you make vitamin D inside your skin. That's where it comes from.
Right.
And so, you know, if you don't make it, you don't get it. And same thing with endocannabinoids. You know, if you don't make it, you can't get it. So you have to supplement it because you're so deficient.
Right. I like to use that example. I'm really glad that you chose that one, because I tell people it would be like the deficiency. Endocannabinoid deficiency is similar to if you never went out into the sun again, or you never got iron from your food, your body will start to get sick because it needs that, and it's using up what it already has. And from what I've been taught, cannabis is the most bioavailable plant that we know of on the planet, and it's more parts of it are perfectly usable in the human and mammalian body, anything with a vertebra, than any other plant that we know of. And so why, you know, certain groups of people are trying so hard to keep it from us is it's frustrating and a mystery to me, because it's usually the people whose pitch is that we're trying to take care of you. We know better than you.
Well, you know, there's always alternative agendas in this. I
mean, of course.
You know that. And so what we focus on, and what I focus on, is what is the science behind this, and why is it real?
You know, right.
This is a real science. This is a real technology.
Right.
It's not a hoax. It's not going away in a year or two.
Right. It's not a fad. It's not just what's popular, like keto diets and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a physician or a dentist or a chiropractor, and you're burying your head in the sand and you're not looking at the big picture here, then it's going to move on. I mean,
well, and your patients will move on if you don't have the capacity to even have a conversation. Your patient will move on to someone who can.
Exactly, and that's a very good point. You know, if they come and you provide very, very good information for your customers, and the doctors out there, they need to be able to provide very, very good information, and they don't want to, and they need to know who to send to. Who is it that's a validated person that we can trust?
Right, because you want to be able to help your patient get a safe, reliable product that you know is not going to harm them, and because there are so many products out there that no one is watching over, and there are so many people who are coming into this industry and just trying to make as much money as they can, as quickly as they can, and they don't care who they hurt. So a physician's responsibility, in my opinion, would be to understand all of it, like for surgery and dental procedures. You know, if you want to stop using it for 3 to 5 days before, because it's a natural vasodilator and can cause, bleeding to increase, you know, you got to know these things, because if your patient's taking it, whether you like it or not, it will affect things like surgeries and dental procedures, just like when you tell them to stop taking vitamin E and ibuprofen.
Right, or aspirin. You know,
yeah,
aspirin,
anything that makes the blood thinner or opens up the
right.
vessels and dilates them.
One of the remarkable products, though, here, you were talking about vasodilation. I mean, that is a remarkable thing.
Right,
that,
for strokes and heart attacks, migraines, all those things that are caused by vessel constriction.
Right. You're just a wealth of knowledge. I'm telling you, people that
I tell you, as soon as I learn it, it stays in there. Well, thank you. We are running out of time here, so let's stop right there and pick up with more about the endocannabinoid system the next time you're on, and we can discuss that once we're off the air. But if someone is listening in the medical field and they would like to see your initiative or speak with you, how would they get in touch with you?
Well, you know, I keep it pretty low key. I mean, I really do. So they can call me. I can give you my cell phone. I practice sleep medicine, dental sleep medicine, a couple days a week. I've got a practice for that.
Okay.
And, it's called Gulf Coast Sleep Specialist, and I'm in Foley.
Okay.
But call you.
Well, make sure we have your contact.
Have them get hold of me that way.
Right. If you work in a doctor's office or a dentist's office, or you are a doctor or dentist, or anyone who has interaction with people using CBD, call Cannabama and we will get you that information.
Yeah, exactly.
Listen, thank you so much for being on the show tonight. We're about to be out of time. Dr. Todd, I really appreciate having you on, and we are definitely going to schedule some more shows to beef up our episodes, and we'll be able to have this available on Cannabama.com tomorrow. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh, thank you, Jennifer. Bye-bye.
All right. You guys have a good night, and we'll talk to you next week.